Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, hey, happy hump day. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. We're Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, the ESPN app, and of course, our lovely friends on Twitch.
Boy!
We've had a good day. So we've fun show.
Fun show thus far.
A lot to discuss. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers, for the hashtag content. Of course, we'll be talking about him and his butter up the butt diet in a couple of minutes.
Is that an anime reference?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much going on there. I don't understand. Gratitude is not weird.
It's not weird.
Have you ever been thankful for anything in your
life? Yeah, I mean...
Come on, people.
So annoying.
You just don't get it. West Coast life. What's up?
Somebody a lot more down to earth and somebody a lot more energetic that we hope to hear things from. The best beard in town. It is Lovie Smith,
the Texas
head coach of the Houston Texans from Big Sandy. He was on the Rich Eisen show, and I love Rich Eisen. I think Rich Eisen and Dan Patrick are in the category. I mean, Dan Patrick's probably the top tier, but when you have somebody like Rich Eisen or Dan Patrick talk to one of these old school guys, it always gets good because old school guys of any sport, Dusty Baker's a great example, are always candid. And then these old school interview guys, Rich Eisen, love you, not calling you old. But it's just less like fake. If that makes sense. It's less scripted.
Fluff.
Fluff is a great word. So I loved Lovie on the Rich Eisen show. They talked about a lot of different things. And one of the things that they talked about was the timeline for Deshaun Watson. And here's that soundbite.
You know, I've had contact with, you know, from just being in the building. I don't really know Deshaun that way. You know, since he wasn't really involved last year, I know about his background and his history as a football player. That part I know. And, of course, I know most people want to know what's going to happen with that. Time takes care of a lot of things, and time will take care of that situation, too, where it's a favorable situation for Deshaun and us.
That's a lot different from what he had said not too long ago about wanting Watson out. And he didn't say it, I want him gone, I want him dead. He didn't say that. No, he said that he would like to see, though, this process sped up. And I wonder what conversations were had between Nick Caserio and Lovie Smith on that front. I imagine that they did talk about that, that they want to have the same message on...
Yeah, it needs to be conducive to what they...
Right.
Yeah.
If you seem desperate, then you're not going to get the best haul that you possibly can for Deshaun Watson. I don't know that Lovie Smith on the Rich Eisen show is necessarily going to change that, but it definitely sounds a little more patient. Maybe it's a realization that they're going to have to be patient because we're seeing more delays in the depositions with Deshaun Watson.
I think perception can become reality, and I think Lovie Smith saying, we want to wrap it up as soon as possible. He didn't mean it like this, but I think that the conversation between PR staff, whatever, could be, hey, if you act like we want to wrap this up quickly, instead of saying something like, no matter how long justice takes, it can appear bad. And it can appear like you care about the football part more than the justice part, which I don't believe is the case. And I would rather have somebody like Lovie that's honest about that than hear the PR answer. But I get it from the Texans' perspective because, like you said, they certainly want the best result from Deshaun Watson, and they don't want to see and seem like they're rushing things. Lovie Smith on the Rich Eisen show yesterday, also touching on Davis Mills. Now, Davis Mills here in Houston has become a little bit of a controversial topic thanks to the folks down the street. I don't exactly understand why. I mean, I understand why, but it's becoming odd at this point.
It's weird that it's controversial because, all right, he's a
rookie quarterback.
And he's a second-round pick, and he wasn't bad last year.
No, he was better than a lot of the quarterbacks drafted above him.
Right, so you look at him, and you're like, okay, I mean, I'm not blown away by him, but I'm okay with seeing him again. You know, it's like going on a first date. You're not really sure that there's any sparks there, but there might be some signs.
Yeah, you've got a lot of those.
The next time around, maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe with a year's worth of experience or a week's worth of text messages, that maybe there's a little bit of a better product on the field with Davis Mills next season. I'm not expecting it, but anything's possible.
I'm very much a you have to have sparks on the first date person.
Yes.
You are not.
You've told me
this. More time. But I am not a we have to feel sparks with Davis Mills the first year. He's a rookie. He takes time to develop. most rookies take time to develop.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Like, even like Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning, and I'm not fitting Davis Mills for a gold jacket, but those guys.
Josh Allen. Josh Allen was terrible his first season.
They didn't have good rookie years. So, Lovie Smith on the Rich Eisen show talking about Davis Mills. Rich asks him, will Davis be the starter?
You know, Rich, as you say, we've known each other a while. You don't give out starting positions in the spring. But, as I said, I love what Davis has done. He's our quarterback going into the season, like all guys. Like, you know, hopefully, you know, some of our best players that played last year, you know, new coaching staff starting in. But, you know, replacing our quarterback, there are a lot of things, positions I'm worried about. Quarterback is not one of them.
I would like to see somebody else, though, in the room. I don't want it to just be Davis Mills. I'm not saying that the Texans should draft a quarterback for the sake of drafting a quarterback, but if they really feel pretty good about one of these quarterbacks, then I think that they should be open to taking them. But maybe Lovie Smith saying this is a reflection about conversations that he and Nick Caserio have had, where they're just going to roll with Davis Mills this coming season, maybe because they don't like any of the quarterbacks that are in this year's class.
I don't think you waste a draft pick on a quarterback unless you're absolutely blown away. I mean, the Texans are losing the hardest position in sports to get, which is a great quarterback.
That is true, but I would say at what point would you take a quarterback even if you're not absolutely blown away? First round pick, yeah. Second round pick, probably. But after that, I mean, if there's a guy that's hanging around and you like him, I mean, I feel like the idea that Davis Mills is going into this coming season and he has no competition for the starting gig, as opposed to last year where it was Tyrod Taylor's, and all right, maybe Davis Mills plays this season. We'll see. Probably not. Optimally not. I would rather have a situation where Davis Mills is once again fending somebody off. Like, I want to know just how tough this guy is, because it's great. You're showing confidence in this young quarterback. You're going to make him feel better going into this season. You're going to maybe challenge him in that if he doesn't expect to be the starter this coming season, maybe he doesn't work as hard. But now that he's expecting it, now he's going to put in all the extra work, and you're going to see what he really can be if he's the leader of this team. So from that perspective, it's good. But at the same time, I'm big about competition, and I want him to be competing against somebody that's a serious challenger, as opposed to just some guy that is like a sixth round pick or a seventh round pick or a journeyman that you know doesn't have much of a ceiling.
This is a great time to tease the fact that Lance Zuerlein and I will both be at the NFL Combine next week. Yay! Indy is home for me, so I'm really excited about that. Lance, of course, has some obligations with NFL Network, but we will both be there. We'll be doing our shows from there. Look for our content online. Lance and I will be doing a couple of videos about draft picks and et cetera.
I know that this isn't what you're going to do, but I really need like paparazzi-esque content at St. Elmo's. Like, I want to know like who's the most liquored up as far as the head coaches, as far as the GMs. And I want to see what state secrets can be spilled by some of these guys, because they all just talk out of their ass, I'm sure, 100%. At this thing, because they're all just wrecked.
And the most liquored up is whoever I feed shots to.
Ooh. So, what's your shot of choice?
That's a good question. I'm a vodka girl, okay. But I do like lemon drops.
You know, lemon drops are great. Do you think, though, that a super hardo masculine NFL coach is going to be like, I want a lemon drop?
No, my favorite shot to feed to like grown men that I cover is Jägermeister.
Jägermeister?
Does the trick.
Tastes interesting.
Like gasoline.
How about a Boilermaker?
What's that again?
You drop a Jägermeister in a beer. I'm not sure what kind of beer, Tyler. Do you know the specifics of the beer that it's dropped into?
I don't think that really matters.
Okay.
Light beer, probably.
What about the Irish Car Bomb? Which is a problematic name.
Love. I know it is. I mean, everyone's always so, they're always so racist against me and me Lucky Charms. Yeah, I don't get
it.
Are
you Irish?
I'm mostly Irish.
Yeah.
They're always, but I mean, you know, we talked about meth. Meth and basketball.
Meth is part of
that's what
culture.
Indiana does. Yeah. Well, Ireland, the last 50 years, it's been like alcohol and car bombs. That's what Ireland does.
Yikes. Lovie Smith on The Rich Eisen Show being candid but not giving away too much. All right. So with the issue regarding the headsets, this became a huge talker because of a David Culley press conference.
Yes. David Culley admitted that Nick Caserio was in his headset. So a lot of people want to know, how's Lovie Smith going to feel about this? And Lovie Smith was asked about it on the Rich Eisen Show. And to me, this was the most striking part of his sit down with Rich. Here is Lovie Smith.
You know, Rich, people do it, you know, a lot of different ways. You know, I've been a head football coach for a long period of time. Yes. I haven't had the general manager involved on game day and don't plan on it. But so, again, things were done differently at different places. We have a system that we're pretty comfortable with here, and Nick and I have talked about that. Nick's going to be available to help in any way that we think he should, and we feel pretty good about that plan.
Nick's going to be available to help in any way we think he should. In any way we think he should.
Which assumes collaboration.
And yep.
Another part from that, Vanessa, don't plan on it, too.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's to me, that's Lovie Smith saying, hey.
Thanks, but no thanks?
To me, it's Lovie Smith saying this. Let's read between the lines. The last guy needed it. And David Culley, to his credit, I like David Culley a lot. David Culley probably would admit that he needed a little bit of that. Lovie Smith don't need it. This is his third NFL head coaching job. He doesn't need somebody in his headset. Now,
well,
I don't think he does.
How about, let's continue this.
You think Lovie Smith needs, yeah, we're going to continue this. We're going to continue this after the break. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, does a grown man in his freaking 60s need help on a headset? I say no. Gallant wow. Apparently says
leading
yes.
Leading the witnesses. Come on.
That's next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Before we embrace debate, the progressive rock band Coheed and Cambria are making their way to Houston for the 2020 live tour. Caller number 2 to 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN wins a pair of tickets to see them with special guests Dance Gavin Dance and Mothica at the new 713 Music Hall in downtown Houston on Friday, July 15th. Tickets are on sale February 25th at Ticketmaster.com. I'm reading it literally, so it's Ticketmaster.com.
I was going to say, there you go.
It's like people, Department of Transportation and Ticketmaster, they've teamed up. Wow.
I hope people certainly can spell that. All right, you're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. We're on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, the ESPN app, as well as our lovely friends on Twitch. One of the things that caused controversy last year, controversy probably is the wrong word, conversation, was the headset. Mm-hmm. David Culley, who is head coach of the Texans, of course, brought up to the media that Nick Caserio was actually on the headset with him during the game, helping him through that.
And for those who don't remember, here is Culley.
Yeah, we have that soundbite.
Well, just like I go back to the two-minute situation when we're in it, I immediately went online with Nick, and obviously he and Romeo talked about it and says, okay, our timeouts now. How do we need to use these timeouts? You know, and then immediately, okay, at this, you know, depending on what happened on this play, we need to call it. If this doesn't happen, then don't call a timeout. So all those things are discussed before we ever get to that point. Like, we're usually a play ahead of that. And then when it happens, then I've got to be ready to make that decision. And that's usually Aaron with all those kinds of decisions, you know.
So that was David Culley last season talking about Nick Caserio, of course, general manager of the Texans, being on his headset during the game. That caused some conversation. There were articles written about it. Should he or shouldn't be on the headset? To me, it wasn't as big of a deal because we all knew this was David Culley's first head coaching job. We knew that there were going to be things that he maybe needed help with, and he didn't seem to. Now, I could be wrong about this, but he didn't seem to really mind Nick Caserio being on the headset. Yesterday on the Rich Eisen show, Lovie Smith, now head coach of the Houston Texans, was asked about that scenario of Nick Caserio possibly being on the headset, and his answer was a little bit different.
You know, Rich, people do it, you know, a lot of different ways. You know, I've been a head football coach for a long period of time. Yes. I haven't had the general manager involved on game day and don't plan on it. But so, again, things were done differently at different places. We have a system that we're pretty comfortable with here, and Nick and I have talked about that. Nick's going to be available to help in any way that we think he should, and we feel pretty good about that plan.
All right, in any way we think he should. Nick's going to be involved in any way that we think he should.
But that's we as an I. That's,
and he also said, don't plan on it.
Right. On game day, I don't plan on it. Right. And look.
So to me, it's not as much that, oh, it's an absolute no. But to me, Lovie Smith doesn't seem as keen on it. I'm not saying it's going to be an issue, but he doesn't sound as keen on it as David Culley was.
Which is understandable, but at the same time, like, what coach should be above getting suggestions from somebody that's at the top, who's been a part of the best organization in sports history for the last 20 years?
It's not that he's above it. It's that Lovie Smith is a man in his 60s, and this is his third head coaching job in the NFL, and he doesn't need somebody to tell him what to do.
Well, that justifies him being able to be stubborn. I mean, it didn't work out his last job, clearly, and I don't think it necessarily worked out for him that well in Chicago after they made it to the Super Bowl, when all of a sudden there are offensive decisions that he had to be making. Now, again, they never had a quarterback, so I can understand why. It never got to that point, but Vanessa, I feel like someone like Lovie Smith should be open to all help. And I don't understand why it's such a possible bad thing for a head coach to have somebody else in his ear that's helping him out. These guys suck at game management decisions. How many of these people have no idea?
Lovie Smith?
Every single coach in the NFL is way worse.
So you think that
at
the GM of the Steelers is in Mike Tomlin's ear?
No.
You think that Chris Ballard is in Frank Reich's ear?
No, I don't, but I'm saying maybe they
so
should
So why
be.
Does Lovie Smith need Nick Caserio in his ear telling him what to
well,
do?
Well, why, my argument to that is, why doesn't he?
He's perfectly competent. He's 63. Do you need me to read you his resume?
You can read the resume, but the resume doesn't mean that this guy
so
is good.
So much experience.
These guys have great. He has a lot of experience. Does he have experience where he is at his utmost best? Because these guys are all bad at timeouts. They're all bad at challenges. They could actually use somebody else that is helping them make the toughest decisions possible. I'm not saying every single second of every single game that they should have somebody talking to them. But, like, Lovie Smith is not above having Nick Caserio talk to him. I'm sorry. You haven't won a Super Bowl. You have not been
He's
to a Super Bowl
to
since
been to a
then.
Super Bowl?
Right. It's been a long time since then. Nick Caserio has been a part of an organization that went to, nine. So,
but he's not Bill Belichick, and that was part a big part of that was Tom Brady.
But he was also there as long as
Belichick.
So
here's my question. So if you think that Lovie Smith is not above having Nick Caserio in his ear, you think that every coach in the NFL should have their GM in their ear?
I don't see what is the big problem with having an extra voice to help you out.
I don't think having an extra voice is a big deal, but when you're as experienced as Lovie is it a little bit degrading to have somebody say, hey, we know this team is going to be bad anyway? You guys are probably not going to win more than 5, at the most 6 games. You need help with that. I don't think Lovie Smith needs help winning 5 to 6 games with the Texans next season.
It's only degrading if you're too proud to accept help. And how many of us are like that? I don't think it's degrading at all. What is wrong with a little extra help? I am not for help that is obnoxious and over the top, but
right.
The NFL is such a slow, backwards, stubborn league as far as adopting these. Like, how long did it take them to incorporate the option into football? You know, like, in modern football, right. The read option and all these things, and you're seeing these things, and these coaches at the NFL level are like, oh, it'll never work here. It'll never work here. They're so resistant to so many things. What's wrong with something that clearly works in basketball, where general managers have more power than coaches, or something that works in baseball, where general managers have more power than managers? Why is it the worst idea in the world to have a general manager who has a background in doing the things that coaches do? What's wrong with that guy being an extra voice for Lovie Smith?
I don't think Lovie needs it. I don't think he needs it. Now, if it's a collaboration, if it's Nick Caserio saying, I'm going to offer you this help, but you have the final say, that's great. Because there may be times when Lovie Smith says, Nick, can you give me your perspective on that? I'm not saying that it's bad if it's collaboration, but I don't think that he needs it. I don't think it's necessary. And it's his third head coaching job. I know in Tampa Bay, it didn't go well. We want to know also what our listeners think. Mm-hmm. So if you're so at us on Twitter, at Sports Vanessa, at Gallant says.
And 713.
Yeah, you can call in too.
780 ESPN 713-780-3776.
Need a babysitter.
But see,
the
way that you're describing it is the way that the majority of coaches across the league look at it. And that's, I think, part of the problem. That they look at it as if it is this bad thing. You're right from one perspective that you said here. As far as the final decisions, someone has to make the final decisions. Because the big problem that happens so often on sidelines is that coaches take too long to make decisions. And if you have multiple voices that are making crucial decisions, okay, that's a problem. But what's wrong with this input?
I don't think it's wrong if it's collaborative. But who do you think should get the... In this particular situation, because every situation is going to be different, having a really young head coach with a very experienced GM may be a different dynamic. But, Paul, for this dynamic right here, Nick Caserio and Lovie Smith, 63 years old, on his third head coaching job, who do you think should get the final say?
If I'm picking between those two?
Yeah.
No offense, I'm picking the guy who is with the good organization as opposed to Lovie Smith.
I'm picking Lovie Smith 10 out of 10 times.
10 out of 10.
Because he has the experience, and this is his...
But Caserio has 20 years of experience with the Patriots.
I like Nick Caserio. Just FYI, I think Nick Caserio is awesome, and I think he had a great draft class. I think he'd be great to collaborate with Lovie Smith on the headset, but the key word is collaborate, not dictate, and not make the final say. Lovie Smith does not need a babysitter. He's a grown man.
Stop, collaborate, and listen. Why can't Lovie Smith listen? That's all I'm asking for in this situation, and I feel like the idea that it's babysitting, it's not necessarily that. Like, I feel like we all should be open to help, even if it's coming in an unconventional way. And I can understand why Lovie Smith's uncomfortable with it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I would be perhaps annoyed at first if somebody was in my ear telling me, oh, no, this is the take that you need to have right now, Paul. Actually, no, you need to talk about how, you know, like Deshaun Watson actually should be the Texans starting quarterback. Like, if I had someone in my ear doing that and trying to overrule me, I would get right. It. That would drive me crazy. But I think that we should evolve, especially the NFL, and a head coach with a guy that has 20 years of experience where he's not just doing scouting, he's doing coaching things. He is with Bill Belichick for a while.
But Lovie Smith has so much experience. I know, but I'm not impressed by Lovie Smith.
Lovie Smith, not a spring chicken, seems like a very nice guy. I'm not impressed by
if
his resume.
If they hired Josh McCown...
I would want Nick Caserio to have all the same, probably.
I totally agree. But this is a grown man. We'll talk about this more on the other end. Right now, I want to tell you about TGS Insurance. If you own your home, you need to listen up, grab your phone. You don't even have to talk to an agent for this. You know you're paying too much for home insurance, but you're probably not shopping better rates because it's a huge hassle, much like having a general manager in your ear. It's not a hassle anymore thanks to TGS Insurance. They've built a new system. It instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers and gives you a full quote in 15 seconds using nothing, a single text message. And you're probably going to save a bunch of money. So take your phone right now. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your address. Send that back. You send your home address and they give you a quote literally within 15 seconds. It's amazing. It's quick. And it is an easy experience. This company and the savings are super legit. Their online rating is almost perfect. And their average customer, listen up, from 2021, saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one wants to shop for home insurance. It's a drag, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. And you're only one text message away from massive savings. One more time, text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote. Save big today.
This is ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Wednesday. You are listening to Vanessa and Gallant. He is at Gallant Says on social media. I am at Sports Vanessa, and we are talking about the headset controversy of 2022/2021. And we asked for you guys' input. Does Lovie Smith, or should Lovie Smith, have Nick Caserio on the headset? Ultimately, I don't see a problem with, just to recap our stances really quick, I don't see a problem with Nick Caserio being on the headset because he's so experienced in a collaborative way, but I do think Lovie Smith should get the final say. Paul, you say...
I mean, look, the final say, if he's on the field, the guy who's on the field makes the final say, because I've seen far too often...
So you're saying Caserio gets the final say?
No, I'm saying on the field that Lovie Smith gets the final say, If you're the head coach, you can't have things come down to the wire. I followed in Seattle Pete Carroll as head coach of the Seahawks, and that guy takes so long to make decisions at times, and the amount of delay of games and things that would come as a byproduct of that, sometimes out of timeouts, drove me bleeping crazy. It's one of the reasons, though, that, you know, if you've covered enough NFL teams or watched enough NFL teams, you will realize that they are all uniquely terrible at managing the clock, managing timeouts. I would like to have somebody that is helping Lovie Smith out on that front. And if the person is described as this by Bill Belichick, rare. Name me another person who has a player of personnel who interacts with players on the practice field the way that Caserio did. This is from 2017. Nick does a great job and has a great interaction and understanding of what's going on the coaching side of it. Yeah, so he's involved in the day-to-day coaching part of it. He's certainly involved in all the personnel aspects of his job, college, pro, free agent, workouts, waiver, everything. But you throw all the coaching stuff on top of that, the week-to-week role in the press box and on the practice field. I mean, he does a tremendous amount. I can't think of any other personnel person who would even come close to that. I don't know who it would be. I don't know what everybody else does, but I don't know anybody. And that's Bill Belichick saying all
yeah,
these things.
Yeah, I think Nick Caserio is awesome. I just don't think Lovie Smith needs him. I think we're agreeing probably more than we think, because I do think that the collaborative part of it can be really good.
No doubt.
For Lovie Smith to be able to say, hey, what do you think we should do here, all of that. But I think it should be, I think where we disagree is I think it should be more at Lovie's discretion. And from your opinion, which I can see, it seems like you think, okay, well, Nick's the GM.
Well, I mean, this definitely wasn't their number one hire that they wanted for the head coach of the team. And I know we can criticize the Texans for that. It's easy to, and you should. I mean, you would like them to get a better head coach on that front. But, I mean, if this collaboration is going to work, then he has to be more open to it than saying on game day, I don't plan on it. Because on game day, I think you should be open to it. You're not that good of a coach. Yes, you have a resume in this league, but you're above having some of that input. You're above having someone say, no, I think we should do this. You're above listening. That's kind of the impression that I'm getting. As far as making those in-game decisions that you have to make over the course of 40 seconds at times, there can be too many voices on that front. So I'm up for final say being up to Lovie, but I would like Caserio to have input, and I don't see what's the problem in having a general manager have a little bit of more input than we've seen in the past in the NFL.
I don't think Lovie Smith needs that, but I do see your opinion from the fact that he's the GM. He does have a lot of experience. It means a lot that Bill Belichick in the past has said the things that he has said, but I don't think Lovie Smith being 63 years old and this being his third head coaching job necessarily needs all of that help. We've gotten some comments and some tweets.
Mm-hmm. We have.
Some Twitchers, some tweets.
So one person, this comes from Jason. His job is being the general manager, the overall puppet master of the operation. His job is to hire the right people. The manager at a restaurant doesn't stand over the chef telling him how to create the dishes while they're being prepared. Well, what if it's Gordon Ramsay? Or what if it's John Taffer?
He has not proven himself to be. I know that you're from Boston, but he hasn't proven himself to be Gordon Ramsay.
He was with the Patriots for 20 years.
That's great.
You hear Belichick saying these things about him. Lovie Smith. Okay, if we're going to compare people in their overall fields, where are we putting Caserio and where are we putting Lovie Smith?
I agree that Caserio is above as far as grade goes.
I think that in this situation, there is nothing wrong with somebody who clearly has experience in things other than just being the general manager. He clearly does a lot in terms of the actual week-to-week preparation and on-the-field stuff. I feel like there are some people that are looking at it and saying all general managers have to be the same. This is still part of this stubborn NFL logic that for whatever reason, not just, I guess, people that are in these organizations, but fans have. And I don't get the stubbornness. You're the worst organization in the NFL. You're an embarrassment right now. What's wrong with trying something new? And what's wrong if Lovie Smith listening to somebody else?
At D Green says, GM can listen on headset, but should not speak. I think the GM should obviously be able to speak. I don't know that I agree with this with that this much, but his point of almost as if like a speak if you absolutely, that's where I'm
supposed to take notes and then like after the game's done where the decisions that
well I think helped. That if you're in an urgent situation and you feel strongly and you're Nick Caserio and you're seeing Lovie Smith is maybe struggling with making a decision, giving him input, but I don't think Nick Caserio needs to be talking to him the whole game. That's the thing, is that I think Lovie Smith is competent enough to handle this.
Cully talked about this over the course of it, and Cully did seem like he needed his hand held a little bit when he was out there, just based off of the way he was describing it. I don't know if that's actually a reflection of what he was in those moments, but Cully, essentially, when he was listening to Caserio, was saying that Caserio would make him aware of things that are coming down the road that he probably needed to prepare for, to plan for. And I think that is extremely important, to have somebody that is aware of things enough to do that. And that's not saying, hey, Lovie Smith, you do X, Y, or Z. You know? Like, I don't know that that's even something that necessarily would happen that often in a game. But I think that there are some extremely helpful hints that more often than not, I think Caserio is going to be right about. And maybe Lovie Smith isn't going to think about it. There are a couple of moments where Cully was like, oh, wow, I never thought of it like that. And a lot of people lambasted him for it. But to a degree, I think you should actually give him a little bit of credit for being open to it, because there are so many guys who get into that big chair and they're like, shut up. Like,
well, that's the
I'm
thing.
God.
And we're assuming that there will be a disagreement. There may not be. But I do certainly think that that soundbite from the Rich Eisen show, I thought that was about as candid and as honest of a kind of hesitant answer as you could get. We'll be discussing this, of course, a lot more throughout the week. He's Paul Gallant. I'm Vanessa Richardson. This is Vanessa and Gallant. All right, Mike Hilton, cornerback for the Bengals, trying to recruit Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil, of course, who was injured. Nick Caserio had talked about he didn't really, you know, whatever that injury was. Laremy tweeted on February 21st, "Is there more?" question mark. That's it. Mike Hilton, those two go way back, quote tweets it and says, "My dog," eyes looking emoji.
Tampering.
"We need to talk.
Send him to jail."
Laremy Tunsil responds, laughing emoji, "Bet." So in the age of social media, these interactions always get attention. It's not the first time that players have kind of, quote unquote, jokingly recruited each other on Twitter or said, "Give me a call." And the thing is that Mike Hilton makes this public, right? Instead of texting Laremy Tunsil and saying, "Hey, I saw your tweet. If you actually want to know about a healthy team, good work environment, hit me up." Mike Hilton, quote, tweets this on Twitter, therefore making it public knowledge that Mike Hilton's like, "Yo, come to Cincy."
I'm a little annoyed by Tunsil's response to it.
Bet?
Yeah.
Why does bet annoy you?
I think if you're Laremy Tunsil, shut up. You haven't played in the last year, you know? I mean, I think that it looks bad. I feel if you're in this situation and you are seriously rehabbing from injury, this is something that you can tell Mike. You don't have to put it on Twitter. Like, why not respond privately and say, "Yeah, I would love to be there. But, you know, I'm in this situation." Instead, you're doing this. I don't know. To me, it just makes me a little bit more suspicious of why it's taking you so long to get back on the field. You know, we haven't had any like open, "Hey, he's, you know, not trying to get back out there." But I mean, it's sort of implied, right? It hasn't been quite out in the open. This is, I think, a breadcrumb that could perhaps actually force it all out in the open at
some
point. Yeah,
RIP to David Coley. He's not dead. He's just not the Texans coach anymore. He did a decent job of navigating this because this was hard. Because it was so clear that Laremy Tunsil was not going to play. But David Coley every week had to say, "We're taking it 1 week at a time. We're taking it 1 week at a time." And it wasn't his fault, but it was just very obvious that Laremy Tunsil was not going to suit up again last year.
Yeah, and
yet we were given no specifics about his injury.
Right. It's just I think we were just like, well, this team stinks, so, I mean, of course he wouldn't want to play for them, which is so depressing. I mean, you just accept the fact, like, yeah, this guy's under contract, and they gave up 2 first-round picks for him, but the team stinks, so he doesn't have to show up. It's fine. No big deal. No one cares. It's fine. He's trying his best. He is living his best life, and we should all respect players for living their best life, even if they're being paid to do literally nothing.
We're in an age of player empowerment, and we've talked about this, and we talked to Warren Moon about it a couple of days ago, where somebody like Laremy Tunsil can say, "I'm not coming back next year because my thumb hurts."
Yeah, or something like that.
And you know what? I don't know if I'd say to his credit, but it worked. He didn't play for the Texans last year.
He didn't, and they glad handled it publicly. And it's one of these situations where if you don't have any power, you don't have any legs to stand on, then what are you going to say? I mean, so he sort of had them over a barrel on that one, but it's tiresome that he is engaging with this. I will say, though, I mean, look, if the Bengals offer a first-round pick, I mean, I'm taking it in a heartbeat. I don't think they're going to get a whole lot more than that, though, for Tunsil, because I don't think Tunsil's been, you know, as good as everyone's made him out to be.
Yeah, that was one of the blockbuster trades. He has a year left on his deal, if I'm not mistaken, so whoever takes him would have to take a little bit of a hit. But if he can get healthy and if he plays, you know, the way that he was in Miami, it could possibly be worth it. All right, coming up, Paul's new favorite politician, a very familiar name in Houston, plus a little game of MFK by Mike McDaniel. That's next as we wrap up, Vanessa and Gallant.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant as we wrap things up on this Wednesday. You have a new favorite politician.
I do. Before we get to him, the master of fedoras himself, I do have to tell you about my new favorite Mardi Gras.
Tell me about it.
The 111th celebration of Mardi Gras Galveston. It's the third biggest Mardi Gras in the country. Did you know that, Vanessa?
I did not.
Did you also know that it's 2 weekends of family-friendly fun with 22 parades?
Family-friendly.
Yeah. 15 balcony parties, 22 live concerts, vendors, and over 3 million beads. Live performances by Three Doors Down, If I Could Be Like That, Signo, Matt Stale, and others, plus a special fiesta Grand Marshal appearance by Texans defensive lineman Roy Lopez. Full schedule, more info at MardiGrasGalveston.com. General admission tickets start at just $16. You can buy them online, again, MardiGrasGalveston.com. Or guess what, fellas and ladies and everybody else out there? If you are caller number three to 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, you're going there. So yeah, Vanessa, I do have a new favorite politician.
Yeah.
So
somebody familiar to Houstonians.
I mentioned him earlier in the show. Y'all remember Royce White, right? Former first-round pick of the Houston Rockets. The Rockets bent over backwards to try and accommodate some of the things that he wanted. He was notoriously afraid of getting on planes, had a lot of anxiety things, and felt like the NBA didn't have enough protocols, that word, which he overkilled along with the phrase, be well. So the Rockets saw a lot of talent in him. He's a very talented player coming out of Iowa State. Daryl Morey clearly thought he was very good, but it didn't work out. And then Royce White had like a thing on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel and all sorts of other things and just seemed to fall off the deep end. But he has resurfaced and he is running against Ilhan Omar as a GOP candidate in Minnesota. I'm just shocked. I'm not going to get into the political side of it because I'm sure that that other politician I mentioned is going to get all sorts of hot takes. All I'm going to say is Royce White is now running for office. And good God, if Captain Fedora and his wall of fedoras, that was the thing I couldn't get over, Vanessa, from the Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel that he did. He has a wall and there's just all sorts of fedoras. And I was like, yeah, I think I can understand. Yeah, he probably isn't doing so well mentally if he has a wall of different colored fedoras. Because fedoras are a disease, people.
It also takes a very special person to pull off a fedora.
In that no one can pull it off.
I'm not a fedora fan either. So this is something we actually agree on.
Indiana Jones can pull it off, but if I see somebody wearing a fedora, I'm just expecting them to tell me about like their favorite brand of coffee,
yeah,
or to talk about like the Black Keys album that they listened to last night or something like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just
my little brother had a fedora phase. And here's the thing. He is 6'4". He's in the Army. He is extremely fit, and he works at the jail and is going to become a police officer very soon.
Okay.
So doesn't fit the stereotypes are what they are, but we'll say he doesn't fit the fedora mold.
He's a fedora jock.
When he was like 10
Lord
years
of the fedoras.
Old, when he was 10 years old, he wanted one thing for Christmas, and it was
a fedora.
And because like my parents are angels, my parents are the most supportive people ever. They were like, fine, we'll get you a fedora.
What color was it?
Gray.
Okay, so it wasn't terrible. No, like it was purple. I was like, trying to be a pimp. Like that's the only one that I could think of it where being wearing a fedora actually is like, oh, okay, I get it.
He wore it for like a year and then never wore it.
He grew
again.
It out. He grew out of it.
And like I said, now he is about like as stereotypically like has a gun, like he's as macho as that. He's in the Army, okay? But he had a fedora face. So I don't hate fedoras, but it sounds like for our friend Royce, it was certainly more than a phase. Meanwhile,
yes.
New Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel answering some tough questions about the MFK game.
Something very quick to end on. Kill, kiss, or marry your coaching tree. Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay.
Start with Matt. I'd kiss him because he's most endearing.
The eyebrows?
Yeah. I would marry Kyle because I've spent the most time with him, so I should marry him. And I would kill Sean because he just was the last team that I played and he beat me.
Okay, so the game is usually marry, F, or kill, obviously.
Marry, love, yeah. Kill. Marry, passion, kill. I know, that's the worst part about the FCC is that you gotta play that game safe. But we all know what game we're talking about here.
I give major kudos to Mike McDaniel for playing because
instead of being like, I can't, or
I don't think it would be appropriate for me, he was like, fine, let's do it.
I'm not gay. Like, yeah he didn't
yeah,
go
he
like
fun
that.
With it.
He did skip a beat. He looked at him like... And then he went into his
answer. Oh, okay. So there was a moment of pause. Okay,
yeah,
so that must
if you watch the video, he definitely was like, this guy's crazy.
But he did it.
I think there's nothing wrong with a question like that. I love that he answered it that way, too. The kill at the very end answer with Sean McVay was amusing. I would have thought that, you know, because McVay and his manicured beard, I figured he would have been higher up on the list.
Mike McDaniel,
like
of course, part of that, the Washington Commanders staff a couple of years ago. It was him, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, and...
Oh, yeah. They love showing that graphic.
Who was the other one?
Kyle Shanahan?
Kyle Shanahan. Thank you. Who have all become head coaches since being in that, what'd you call it, the frat pack?
I don't know, because I don't think McDaniel would get into a frat. No offense to Mike McDaniel.
No,
like,
no.
Mike McDaniel's a lot more like me than he is, I don't know. Like, your brother, without the fedora, sounds like he is, like, straight frat material. Now, I don't know him very well, but I'm just saying,
God,
like, big guy.
No.
No, not at all?
Oh, God,
not
no.
at all? Okay.
Absolutely
I'm just
not.
Entirely basing off physical appearances. I would expect a 6'4" giant person to be in a frat. And
I mean,
I would...
he could get into one, but he wouldn't gotcha. Do, like, the matching shirts and all of that.
No. Not wearing a polo with pastel pants and a pop collar?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
My dad bought me a boat last week, I guess.
But shout out to Mike McDaniel for that. That was funny. That was really good.
I like his personality. I really do wonder how the rest of that coaching staff is going to gel with him, because he is so not every single other macho person in football. Because everyone in football is like, yeah, I'm a man. I do dip. I drive an F-150.
Right. Do you think that that'll be a nice change of pace, though? I think people might like that.
Maybe. I don't know. I think players will like it. I wonder how he will get along with other coaches, though. And I don't think that all coaches get along particularly well, because I think some guys are brought in, they're holdovers from last staffs. Some people you bring in, you don't really know how they work. And he's just so different. I mean, this is the first hipster coach in NFL history, you know? And I know there has been some talk about how it's kind of crazy that in the NFL, where there are so few minority coaches, where Mike McDaniel, who's has a his father is black, like, he is considered a minority
coach.
He had such
a rough first week, though, because everybody was like, is he or isn't he? And
that's
yeah, like, factually speaking.
But it's one of those things, too, where he doesn't want to talk about it. And it's one of those things that's sort of just forced into conversations
100%.
Over and over. But no, if he is anything, he is a hipster. He, to tie it all up with a bow, Vanessa, is somebody that I would expect to wear a fedora.
He would wear a fedora. Not only that, he might rock a fedora. He's got a really pretty wife, too.
Good for him, but...
very few people can rock it, he might.
If he ever wears that fedora, he should be divorced. No one should ever wear a fedora. I have spoken.
And that's a bow on Vanessa and Gallant. Thanks for hanging out with us on Wednesday. Make sure you follow us on social. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Gallant Says. We'll be talking all things NFL. Deshaun Watson cleanses Aaron Rodgers. The good stuff.
Cleanses.
Tomorrow.
Enemas.
Next. Yummy. Next up, Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank with the Killer Bees.
So long. Farewell.
ESPN 97.5.